Jeremiah chapter 5. Well, we finished in under 88 minutes this morning, I think. We did good. Good. So if we use that same scale this evening, 31 verses, be 62 minutes. So one verse for 2 minutes per verse. Might need three on this tonight, though. Not enough time on the CD. Oh, well, you can catch it online if you need to. There's plenty of time on YouTube. Amen. Glory. Jeremiah chapter 5, Jeremiah is getting a message from God. God is dealing with Israel and Judah. Of course, the divided kingdom. We've covered this in recent weeks as far as where and who God was dealing with. And the message, these first several chapters in the book of Jeremiah deal with the message that God has given to Jeremiah to give to Israel and to Judah. And in this, there are particular times where God directs Jeremiah to give a message to Judah and possibly a different message to Israel in that northern kingdom and the southern kingdom as the kingdoms were divided at this time. And so when we come to chapter number 5, God is continuing to lay out His case against them. And He is, in this chapter, He is telling Jeremiah, go and tell them. That is the thought for tonight as far as the title. Go and tell them. And then He's going to give us three different areas of things that they are to be told. And we'll make some application here tonight. But I want to start by reading verse number 1 and some verses following so we can make some application here. The Bible says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They've made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore, I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. And I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke, and burst with the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods. When I have fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation? I want you to drop down to verse number 25. Jeremiah continues here by saying, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait, as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men,
As a cage is full of birds, so is their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge? Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Jeremiah, go and tell. That's what we're going to talk about tonight as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we pause for this moment, we must begin tonight by recognizing who you are. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruler of nations, creator of the world. And you're our God. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Father, as we continue through this book of Jeremiah, my heart is heavy when I read it. To preach it, it's the same. For Father, as we know, we're dealing with Israel. It's hard to read these pages and read these words and not think of the state of our own country. As your word tells us, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Father, we've seen years of blessings. We've partaken in them. We've been blessed through them. But Father, in the state and the shape that our country is in, I don't know how much longer it can last. May we fear you. May we be part of a blessed remnant of those that will hold up your standard, that will keep thy word as true, as holy. May we place ourselves in an area of holiness unto you, for you are holy. Help us in this. May we seek your face. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Verse number one, God tells Jeremiah, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh truth, and I will pardon it. He's talking about Jerusalem in this pardoning. We know from the previous chapters that God is preparing to bring a judgment, for God is preparing to bring another city to come in and ransack and carry off into captivity these Israelites from the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and God is going to have His way through a time of judgment period. But He encourages Jeremiah, He says, I want you to run to and fro. Now when we see that, I want you to notice that there is a seriousness here. It's not just a casual, hey, I want you to go and talk to people. He's saying, Jeremiah, time is of the essence. I want you to run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and I want you to find a man. He said, I want you to find a man that executed the judgment and one that seeketh the truth. He said, and when you find that man, I will pardon it. I want you to notice God did not say, I will pardon him. He said, I will pardon it. What's he talking about? He's talking about Jerusalem. I will pardon Jerusalem when you find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, if there be any that seeketh the truth, I will pardon it. And I want you to get this first point tonight as we see Jeremiah's being told by God, go and tell. He said, Jeremiah, go to and fro and find this man. I want you to notice, first off, that their religion was not enough. Notice what the word says. He says, and though they say, the Lord liveth. I want you to notice that they claimed the name of God. They knew who God was. And yet the Bible says that they swear falsely. He says, Jeremiah, you're going to find some in the streets that will say, oh yeah, the Lord liveth. Yet they swear falsely. Jeremiah says back to the Lord, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They've made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. If you'll recall in the previous chapter where God said to Jeremiah, tell them to return. Tell them to return to me. To return to the one that created them, the one that brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt. Tell them to return. And they didn't listen. And Jeremiah, he's here now and he's saying, Lord, you've already sent them a message. And let this be another message to us that God is a God not just of second chances, not just of third chances or fourth chances, but we have a long-suffering, merciful God that sends message after message after message to those that will hear. But Jeremiah's experience so far has been they've refused. God, you've consumed them, but they've refused your correction. He said they've made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. But then Jeremiah begins to think. He says, wait a second. He says, I know what's wrong. He says, I'm going to the wrong people. I'm going to the wrong people. He said, surely these are poor. He says, I've gone to people that don't know. He said, they're poor. They are foolish. For they have not known the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. And you know what? It is a very sad day in which we live in today that we would have to agree with Jeremiah. There is a people in our country, the United States of America, that can go to school, they can go all over the place and never darken the door of a church, never hearing the name of Jesus, never knowing anything about God, but yet we are a Christian nation. May God help us. There are people in this United States of America that we could say they've never heard the name of Jesus Christ other than a slur word or a curse word on a movie, not knowing anything about Him, not knowing anything about His death, His resurrection, His ascension into heaven, not knowing about a Bible, never opening a page of a Bible before. Yes, in this land in which we live, in this land in which many of us have multiple copies of the Word of God, there are people in this country who don't even own one. What a shame. So Jeremiah, he recognizes this. He says, they don't know the way of God. They don't know the judgment of their God. He says, I got it. He says, I will get me unto the great men. Who might those great men be? Wonder who those great men were that Jeremiah thought, surely they know God. Surely if there's anyone, it's the great men. He said, I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. He says, there's a man out there somewhere. Surely I can go to and fro and I can find that man so that God will pardon this city. Jeremiah found out that their religion was not enough. Their religion was not enough. He said, but these, notice that. He says, they have known the way of the Lord. They have known the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. He said, they don't walk with God. That's what he's saying there. He said, they no longer walk with God. They have broken the bonds. They have torn asunder. They have walked away from that we saw in previous chapters, how they have backslidden to a place that they can no longer say that they know the truth, that they can no longer say that they execute the judgment of God. And Jeremiah says their religion is not enough. He said, "Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them. A wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods, when I have fed them to the full. They then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were fed as horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife." Hold on a second, excuse me. Do you realize that we are responsible for the next generation? There's a lot of talk these days about the millennial generation. How many are familiar with the millennial generation? They say it's the generation, that generation, the millennial generation, goes through roughly, 35 years old, Matt? Is that correct? I think so. 18 to 35 year olds. Millennials. Say it's the largest generation in the United States after the baby boomers. There's great hope. Or is there? I don't know the exact statistics, but while they are the largest generation since the baby boomer generation, they're the generation that has the largest number of individuals, percentage, that do not believe in God. There's great hope, but I'm just going to tell you, that falls on us. Can I just tell you, while the religion in Israel was not enough, our religion is not enough either. As a matter of fact, we've had enough religion. Religion is part of the reason why we have so many 18 to 35 year olds that do not believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. They don't believe in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. We're responsible for that. We are responsible for that. He says, "Surely the great men will know." He said, "I will find one, I will speak to them, for they have known the way of the Lord and judgment of their God." Oh, the great men. Now, I don't know if he was talking about in stature as far as what they have accomplished, or whether he was talking about the men of great age. I really don't know where he was going with this. My guess would be those of great stature, since he's comparing the poor to the great. Those that have been blessed by God, surely they would know. And yet, the Bible says, they've all together broken the yoke. They've burst the bonds. And when you look at, notice in verse number 7, he says, "How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me." Their children weren't even taught about God. "They have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods, when I have fed them to the full. Then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in harlots' houses. They were fed as horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife." Oh God, help us. We talk about the sexual revolution of the United States of America, and I'm telling you, it is ruining homes. It is ruining lives. We see it here. It's no different. Notice, and again, you got to somewhat read between the lines, and I don't want to really get into it in this particular crowd tonight, but look what it says. He said, I fed them to the full. They were blessed. They had everything they needed. They had everything they wanted, and probably a little bit more. I fed them to the full. Then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. That means person after person after person in this sexual immorality. They were fed as horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. When you think about our culture and the way the sexual exploitation and how it is permeated throughout our society and how it is even championed in our society. I've heard it said in recent days, some famous individual that had committed adultery against his wife came out and said, it was the best thing I ever did for my marriage. What an idiot. What an absolute godless, forsaken idiot. Can I say that? What an absolute moron. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. The best thing I've ever done. Moron. Look what God said. Verse 9. Going through all of this, he said, shall I not visit for these things? Saith the Lord. And shall my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Now I'm talking about America in great detail tonight, because when I read this particular verse upon my study and upon reading through, when you see this, God is not talking about just Israel here. God is not talking about just Jerusalem here. He's not talking about the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. He says, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? We are such a nation as this. Most certainly are. Most certainly are this nation. In verse number 10, he says, go ye up upon her walls and destroy. But make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They, that's both of them, Israel and Judah, they have belied the Lord and said, look at this. It is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us. Neither shall we see sword nor famine. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. And thus shall it be done unto them. They were using the name of the Lord in a false way. So while their religion was not enough, I want you to notice their reasoning was not enough either. It is not he, they said. Neither shall evil come upon us. Neither shall we see sword nor famine. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. They said, look, we know who God is. They used him falsely. They said, look, his evil, neither shall evil come upon us. They said, we're good. Oh me. Oh me. I can see it in our land today. You know, I'm telling you, what our problem is in America, we just need to fix the economy. We just need more stuff. Right? I mean, we just need a few more things. We'll be good. As long as we can still go to ball games and go to movies and do all the things that we want to do, we'll be all right. There's no... Oh yeah, we're good. We just need to fix the economy. Oh, you know, if the economy's good, that means God is blessing. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. They said, it's not going to come upon us. Oh, look what verse number 14 says. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts. Notice this. They belied the Lord and said, it is not He, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine, and the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts. So this is what the people say, but this is what God says. He says, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them. That's some tough language right there. He said, you want to speak these words? Go right ahead. You want to say no evil shall come upon us? Say it all you want. And I'm just going to tell you right here, right now. He said, I will make these words, my words, in thy mouth fire. And this people would. Now what happens when you put fire to wood? It's burned. It's consumed. There's nothing left. He said, lo. Verse number 15. He said, you want to know how I'm going to do this? He says, lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation. A nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Their quiver is as an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men. Their quiver is where you kept the arrows for the bow. He said, they're full. He said, and it's like a mighty sepulcher. It's an open sepulcher. They draw back, dead. Open sepulcher. There it is. They're all mighty men. They shall eat up thine harvest. He said, you think your economy's good? He said, they're going to eat up thine harvest. Thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat, they shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. And they shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees, and they shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. We can build a wall 100 feet high and God can get through it. Amen. We can build a wall on every border of the United States and this United States can still implode if God has anything to do with it. We are such a nation. We are such a nation. And he says, you want to grow everything you want to grow, and I'll send somebody else in to eat every bit of it. He said, grow your flocks, have at it, and grow your herds ready for food, and someone else will consume what your children should have consumed. He said, you've trusted in your finances way too long. He said, someone else is coming to take it. You see, their reasoning was not enough. In verse number 18, the Bible says, nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. Can you still see in all of this? Can you see the merciful hand of God? I will not make a full end with you. In verse number 19, he said, and it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord God all these things unto us? Hold on, just right there, just for a second. Read that one more time. Wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? You know, sometimes we sit down and something happens and we say, God, why would you do this to me? Why would God allow that? Why would God let this happen? Why would God let me lose my job? Why would God let me lose my family? Why would God let me do all of these things? God, why would you do this to me? He said, there's going to come a day when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them. He says, Jeremiah, go and tell. They're going to say this. He said, and when they do, here's the answer. like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. God, why are we being held captive? God, why did we get defeated? God, why are we being carried out into a strange land? Why did you do this to us? Why did you not protect us? Like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Go and tell, Jeremiah. Go and tell them. Declare this, verse number 20, in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people. By the way, this foolish people are the poor and the great. Don't miss that. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. You ever think about that? If you've been out to the Gulf, you've seen the ocean is vast, isn't it? What keeps the waves from just coming up farther? What keeps it from just coming up all the way? I mean, there's a lot of water out there. What keeps it from coming up and just covering the rest of the land? What causes that wave to crash up against the shore and then go back out? I'm sure scientists have figured that out and they have a scientific explanation, but it's possible they've never read Jeremiah chapter 5. God said, that's the way I made it. Is that not what he said? He said, there's a decree that it cannot pass. He said, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, they toss themselves, they try to get farther, but they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. Verse number 23. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. You see, their religion was not enough. Their reasoning was not enough. Jeremiah, go and tell them. But they're rebellious and their revolting hearts were the end of what God would take. He said, but this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of harvest. He says, they won't say that God is in control. They won't fear God. They don't say that, hey, it's God that giveth the rain, the former and the latter, and all that we need, and any harvest that we have, it's only because God has allowed it. They won't say that. And in verse 25, he says, your iniquities have turned away these things. Notice what he says. And your sins have withholden good things from you. Wonder what good things those may be. He says, for among my people are found wicked men, They lay wait. As he that setteth snares, they set a trap, they catch men. As a cage full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. Oh, they've been blessed, we might say. It's a catchphrase we use. Oh, they've become great and they've waxen rich. They are waxen fat, he says. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. A second time God uses this phrase, shall I not visit for these things? Saith the Lord. Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Shall I not visit for these things? Saith the Lord. See, he's building his case here. He's saying, you're rebellious. They had no fear. No fear of God. Sin reigned upon their lives. And God said, shall I not visit for these things? Shall my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Most interesting word is used here in verse number 30. As he says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. That's not a contradiction, by the way. We use that term wonderful. You know, we may have said, Charles, a young man, walked the aisle, got saved this morning. Somebody might say, oh, wonderful. That's great. And we use that term. But in this particular place, wonderful is not a glorious thing. It's not a great thing. It really means it's a strange thing. It's something that ought to astonish us. It's something that makes us ought to stop and wonder. What happened? You ever wonder about something and you wonder, what happened? And God is saying a wonderful thing, something that ought to make us stop and say, what in the world happened here? He said, it's a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. Something that's dreadful and terrible. See, the prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. And look at this next phrase. And my people love to have it so. Oh, God, help us. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means, whatever they can get. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? As I look at our nation, as I look at our country, and I see where we're at, I would like to think that if God were to say, I want you to go to Mobile, Alabama, and find a righteous man, and I'll spare that city, I'll pardon it, I would like to think. I mean, this is a fairly good crowd on a Sunday night. Is there one here that's righteous enough? Is there one here that can execute judgment and seeketh the truth? I would like to think that we could. I would like to think that it's churches like ours that withhold the judgment of God on our country. May we not be a people that love to have it so. May we not be a people that won't know what to do in the end thereof. I don't know how much longer the Lord will tarry. I know He's long-suffering. I know His forbearance is much larger than ours. I know His mercy endureth forever. But I tell you, I'm saying things. I tell you, while I'm encouraged that the millennial generation is a large generation and all of that, we must do better at reaching. We must do better at instructing. We must do better at engaging this next generation if we're going to have, if our grandchildren are going to have an America even close to resembling what we have. And I'm just going to tell you, as history tells through Scripture and as history tells through history, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. It's very possible that my grandchildren could be the last generation. I'd like to say my great-great-great-grandchildren. I have no idea. But I know this. We must seek the truth. We must hold to the truth. We must continue to proclaim the truth. Because whether we want to face it or not, judgment is going to come. You say, Pastor, we're not Israel. I understand that. I know we're not Israel. I know exactly who we are. We're such a nation as this, though. We're not much different than what God is describing in the book of Jeremiah. Oh, may God have mercy on our souls. The Bible tells us in the end times, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I would love to tell you, it's going to get better. But I can tell you this, just as this morning a young man by the name of Charles walked an aisle, heard the gospel, got saved. The gospel still saves. The truth still works. We must proclaim the message that God has given to us. We must do all that we can for as long as we can. That's the message tonight. Go and tell them. Go and tell them. We've got a battle on our hands. It's not a battle against people, it's a battle against evil. We must love people to Jesus. We must tell them the truth. We must speak the truth in love. Go and tell them. Who will go? Who will tell them? The religion's not enough. The reasoning is not enough. But the rebellious and revolting hearts, that will be the end for such a nation as this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I invite you tonight. You may have a loved one you've been praying for. You may have someone that you work with or someone near to you, dear to you, that needs this. Oh, that God would hold His peace. In just a moment, we'll sing hymn number 293 as you're all on the altar. Have you left it all here? What will you do with this? You say, Pastor, this wasn't a very uplifting, encouraging message, I know. But I hope it pricked your heart as it pricked mine. May God have mercy. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You. God, I pray tonight that we might be a people that would seek Your truth. That we might be a people that would seek Your righteousness. May we hold to it. May we proclaim it loudly. God, that all the earth may know.